Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Creative Contact. I'm your host, Keel Ryan. Thank you so much for tuning in. You could be anywhere in the world, but you're here with me, and I appreciate that so much. This is going to be a quick and dirty episode, as always. I'm coming to you now bi-weekly, fortnightly, with the updates, because we got a lot going on. I'm getting a little sick. It's getting kind of cold, so I'm trying to still stay consistent with these. Keep y'all posted. Keep my future self posted with my past self. Just kind of where I'm fit, what I'm thinking about, what's going on in life, where I am in the world, kind of life lessons, things that I'm kind of ruminating on. And some interesting little updates here in terms of some fun things I've noticed here in Buenos Aires, in terms of the love life, in terms of the career. And I'm hoping, man, I'm looking super orange. Crazy. I'm hoping that you guys can maybe throw me some feedback. And interesting to sort of see how things have developed over the last few weeks, last few months. So let's jump into it. So the first thing I'm going to talk to you guys about, because the first thing on my mind, priority numero uno for the boy, as always, is the writing, the creative projects. These are the things that I'm the most passionate about, that I spend the most time on, that I make the most space for, that I think the most about. These are just kind of always on my mind. And so there are kind of two things. Two projects I've been working on that I think I've told you about the last few weeks. One is, when I first got here, I was really inspired by this writer named Juno Diaz. And he's a Dominican dude, Dominican-American, actually got his MFA from Cornell, shout out Big Red. And I just love his short stories. I feel like they're poetic, but like very casual. It's like a very casual kind of tone, but very poetic in their descriptions. And they're these like fun, not always fun, but I guess lighthearted, yet still deep kind of love stories. So super inspired by those, and kind of tried my own kind of style with those. So the project is called Lessons in Love. It's kind of like six short stories. And I've got those basically drafted. For the most part, there's the last one I'm working on, but drafted. I sent them to my pops because he's always the one that kind of helps me. He's always like my first set of eyes. And I've been working with an editor named Bethany. And I'm hopefully going to whip those up, and those will be kind of coming sooner than later for y'all down the road. But to be honest, the project I'm the most excited about recently has been this one that I'm still trying to figure out if it's going to be a memoir or a novel. The nice note of it as a novel is I feel like I have a little bit more room to kind of play with it creatively, a little bit more. I can lean into the fiction side of it, but for some reason this last week, I always thought it was going to be a novel, so I was kind of fictionalizing it a little bit. But this last week, it did kind of call to me as a memoir. I just toyed with the idea. I was like, what would this look like as a memoir? And got really excited about that. Like, there's something about that piece of it just sort of being this one chunk of life inspired by music. And it's almost a chunk of life that is, it's almost therapy for me in a way, as well as it's like a love letter. It's like a Drake love letter, kind of, where, you know, I'm thinking about, there's a lot of like Drake kind of music analogies and stuff in there. So anyways, this is looking super dark, so I'm going to just turn the ISO up a little bit. Make it a little brighter. So, yeah, so that's cool. I feel like that's definitely coming along. And I've got, like I said, kind of most of that drafted by now. It's just now at this point trying to find what it's supposed to be, and the layout and the format to be has been challenging. Because I know that's probably something you're supposed to find before you jump into the project. But for me, that's something that I always kind of find as I write into it. That's just my style. Everybody's different. But I'm really excited about that piece. It's like very experimental. It's super inspired by a couple different books. There's this one writer named Sam Pink, who I love, and it's kind of experimental that way. It's one called Fuckboy by Sean Conroe. A couple other writers there too. This book called Cherry by Nico Walker, he was like a bank robber, heroin addict dude, which is nuts. But anyways, it's sort of like part memoir, part novel, but I've just been banging away on that every morning. Finally feel like I have like most of it, the main rough draft there, and that's kind of going and reworking the chapters. But it's kind of a style I haven't tried before. It's a voice I'm not used to, you know, using when it comes to writing. And so there's a lot about that, man, I can't wait to finally get some of this down and show it to y'all. So that's kind of the main bread and butter, has been cranking on the writing. That's the dream. Another thing I've been kind of toying with is this idea of screenwriting, because when I think about that, it feels kind of, I get inspired thinking about that, because the part that I love about writing the most is I have a writing coach that I've been working with over the last year, And he's always hammering me on plot. He's always like, Kia, what's the plot? And I realized that I'm not super driven by plot. Even in movies I like, it's almost, I'm less of a plot guy and more of like, I like really like kind of like mumblecore films. Like I just like seeing characters kind of interact, and the human dynamic will forever be fascinating to me. And so I think that screenwriting could be cool because it's so dialogue focused, right? It's like, it's about character interactions. That's what you're kind of writing for the screen. Of course, you put in the different actions and it would force me to learn about plot in these different ways that, you know, character motivation and pieces along those lines. But I like the idea, like writing dialogue and writing scenes is always my favorite part. So I don't know, I've been kind of toying with that. The idea, when I think about my dream life, it's probably working on writing projects, like collaborating on writing projects, like a screenplay or some sort of novel or something like that. That I think I love the solo piece to it, but the cool part about screenwriting to me, as I think about the idea of like almost like having a collaborative screenwriting, like writing a screenplay together with somebody, to me sounds just like an awesome life. So that's sort of like my North Star, something that I'm shooting for, kind of trying to keep that vision alive. The way that that ties into my reality at the moment is thinking about money, which is something that I've been talking a lot about the last few months. It's like, how do I make more money? And that's been this whole sales journey. I was like, let's try a sales job, because there's a lot about this kind of high ticket sales space that I like a lot. And so I've been working the last few months. I got an SDR position, which is kind of like the baby sales position. And it's been cool. I feel like I'm kind of bored of it at this point, to be totally honest. Like, I'm really looking for the challenge of like the closing piece. So thinking about how I can move into that. I've been talking to my sales manager, trying to work towards that. But the nice part about this so far has been this kind of reframe in thinking around one of the nice parts about the SDR shit has been it's given me a lot of leeway in terms of being able to write in the mornings and then do the sales calls in the afternoon. But now having a month and some change in this kind of sales job, I realized, I really like having conversations. There's something really nice about the job where I log in, I take calls, I log out, and I'm done. It's not like these kind of like projects I'm thinking about, or it's not like I have to think a lot about having a boss or coworkers. You know, there are these things that you are part of a team, yes, but it's not like, I remember before when I've worked on, in different 9-to-5s and different things like that, where I'm either one kind of ruminating on projects a lot more, or I'm thinking about like how I can appease Bob, the accountant, to make sure that like, I can work, I need to appease Bob so that I can get this like end of the year report so that way I can send it to Russell, but I want to make sure that I can get it to Russell like at noon because he gets kind of moody sometimes in the afternoon, so I can get that signature so I can appease Gwen. It's like this whole crazy office politics bullshit that goes into a lot of 9-to-5s that I just don't really fuck with, right? And so there's a cool thing about the sales structure that I like, where you have a sales manager, but it's less about like making sure my coworkers, I'm like doing all the office politics stuff. And more is it like, am I hitting my numbers? Am I keeping my sales manager happy? Am I bringing in sales? Am I making the customers happy? It's like, it feels a little bit more like linear, which I kind of like. I also like the idea that it feels kind of like a, I'm not sure the word for it, almost like a, now I was saying bounty hunter, but like it's freelance-ish, where like you can kind of like hop on an offer, do your thing, hop off, compared to the like other jobs I've been looking at, they're just more, you almost have to integrate to the team. There's kind of more upstart tax to kind of get rocking and rolling. But I have been thinking about that. I've been talking to friends. I have some friends that work at different corporations and companies. Trying to think about, I've been having those conversations. Like, what would it look like to get a big boy job and work that for a year? And I don't know. There's a lot of those that seem really cool, but I still think, I know it's not black and white, nothing in life is, but it does feel like that to me sometimes. Like, it can be a little bit like I do the big boy job and work 9-to-5 and have no time for writing, or I kind of like do something maybe part-time or kind of do this closing thing, try to stack a bunch of cash and then do the writing later. I'm still kind of percolating on those ideas. There is one sales training. There's kind of a group of sales guys out in Toronto that I've been thinking about like paying to go hang out with them and like just brush up and like get some sales coaching, really try to get that sales skill, that sales muscle down. Like, just get really nice at selling shit. And I think it's a cool, it's a cool skill that I could leverage later on. I don't think AI is going to be taking it anytime soon. So it's what I've just been thinking about, like how I could invest in that more. Speaking of which, an interesting sort of life lesson going into this is, speaking of investing in this, is I have a friend, he does sales coaching, and he's like an expert in the field. So I hired him to do some coaching with me, as well as there's like a job placement thing. He's like, hey, he's the one who got me the SDR position. And so he basically, when we were, I'm not sure if you can hear that, but people are going crazy out there. He was talking to me about, he's basically like, I'm going to hook you up with this job. I have someone who's looking for an SDR. Wait a second. No idea what happened there. Shit was fucking weird. So I've got this friend. He coaches sales. He got me the SDR position. And then he does these group coaching calls. The thing was, I started taking all these calls for work. And so I didn't have time to make the coaching calls. And so I was like, damn. I was like, I feel like I'm not getting the most out of this coaching program. So I reached out to him asking for a refund. And to me, it didn't seem like that big of a deal. I was like, okay, I've already paid for some of the program. You know, it's an expensive program. And I was like, I got the SDR gig. And I was like, that's cool. But I was like, I don't feel like I'm getting the most out of this. So I asked for a refund. We hopped on. He was like, hey, can we hop on a call? And we did. And I realized that he was really offended. And I think I talked about this a little bit last week, but it was fascinating that he was very offended by it. And then I didn't realize how me asking for the refund, how much tension that was going to cause us, me and him. And one thing he said, though, he was like, hey, I'm happy to do this for you. I just want you to know, like, this, he's like, I think this is very short-sighted, but he's like, because you act like, I'm happy to do this thing for you. But he's like, did I deliver on the promise or not? Like, did I deliver on what I told you I was going to do or not? Yes or no? And I was like, yeah. So we got off the phone and he'd agreed to do the refund, partial refund. But I realized then when I went to bed, it didn't sit right with me. And then I went for some long walks. It didn't sit right with me. And I was like, I think I fucked up. I was like, I'd rather have this relationship be solid between me and him than have the money back. And I thought about it and the points that he made. And I was like, he delivered. He did what everything he said he did. Me not taking advantage of this program, that's more of a me issue. Like, whether it's not a good fit for me or I'm not making the coaching calls. Like, he's still showing up doing the calls. He's the one who got me the position. Like, there's a lot that he did everything that he said he would. And so I thought about this podcast that I heard maybe 6 months ago on rupture and repair. It was by this woman. I forget her name, but she specializes in parenting. And she talked about, like, she's like, you're going to fuck up. You're going to you're going to hurt people's feelings. That's just part of being human. But she's like, how the difference between rupture and repair. And she's like, the quicker that you can mend that, you know, it's almost the opposite of what it, like Viktor Frankl's, you know, that like the space between like stimulus and response. It's like in like that's what meditation for is, like, you want to like create the longest time between stimulus and response as you can. Whereas rupture and repair is almost the opposite. It's like you want to, the quicker you can repair, like, then say sorry and apologize, the quicker you can get back to where you were, or maybe even sometimes even like muscles, like you rupture and then you get back to even a stronger place after the repair. And so that night I was like, man, this doesn't sit right. And so I reached out to him, like, that night in my mind I had a hard time sleeping. I was just writing the response. I was like, I need to apologize. So first thing in the morning I woke up, hit my workout, came back, wrote him an email. I was like, dude, I apologize, I fucked up. I knew the feeling in my stomach when we got off the call. I was like, this is not a good feeling. I don't like when people are upset with me, like, especially if they're a friend or something like that. Like, I don't care if it's like trolls on the internet, but if it's somebody I know, like, I want to keep my karma, my good juju with everybody that I know. And I was like, I think this one's on me. I was like, I think I fucked up here. This is, you know, I'll take that L. And so I reached out to him. I was like, dude, I apologize. I didn't mean to offend you. You delivered everything you promised you would. And whether it's a fit or not is all, like, it's ultimately irrelevant. I didn't mean to ruffle these feathers. Like, I see your point now, because I did. Like, the more I thought about it, I was able to really understand his perspective. And he wrote me back just a really sweet email, and it was cool. It was like fascinating how this kind of lesson in life of like doing the right thing is always the right thing, and how apologizing, especially if you feel like if it's sincere, like, has never led me wrong. You know, I feel like there's something really powerful about that. So it was just interesting. kind of the way that transpired, and that he was like, I'm still not going to charge you for it, because he's like, I think you did the right thing, and, you know, you're stepping up and doing this. So that was really cool. But still, it was just one of those lessons. You know what it is? You know, if you can hear the crazy shouting, I think it's a football game. I think that's what it is. So anyways, Argentinians, man, they love their football. That's life in terms of work, writing, update there. In terms of ladies, I started seeing this thick Venezuelan. She's super cute. She's really cool. But I've been, I don't know, sort of on the fence. I think we have, I mean, she's a rock star Latina, but it's like very, very kind of typical in terms of like our lifestyles are like completely different in terms of like, by the time I'm like waking up, she's going to bed, like, because I'm just such a crazy kind of robot in my schedule. And so it's an interesting thing about our biggest friction is probably just the lifestyle piece of it. And for me thinking about, maybe I say this all the time, but it's interesting sort of trying to, you know, what it kind of manifests in real life is this idea of how maybe for me, a partnership is less about like trying to find the perfect woman, but more about like, how do I find the right lifestyle with somebody? Because, you know, I am part robot, and I think that's a piece of it is like, I have this kind of routine that I stick, you know, old man, I don't think it's anything super crazy or special, but it's definitely not like I'm out partying, you know, and I don't like a lot of late nights and stuff like that. And so it's interesting trying to find just somebody who maybe it's less about like whether she's my perfect dream woman and we're just like, are we aligned in like our sleep and wake cycles, you know, like what type of activities, you know, do we like to do and whether there's kind of shared space there. And yeah, it's been interesting, like kind of navigating that again, but it's been cool. It's been cool. She's rad, super sweet. And so it's been cool to kind of like dabble in that sort of arena again, but I'm leaving in like 5 weeks. So I'm not like super invested into it, but it's been nice to sort of at least like play pretend being boyfriend for a little while. One interesting thing about these kind of situationships that I find myself in is that I find that maybe because the timelines are like so concrete, it's like, this is when I'm leaving. I do find like I tend to like be able to be more vulnerable. I'm like, hey, I'm giving you everything. I was like, you already know I'm leaving. Like, this is what it is. So I'm like mask off. Like, this is what I am. You know, just like very much Kia. I don't have to like play any like kind of like cool, you know, shit. I can be like, this is who I am and it is what it is. And so that's been interesting, just kind of noticing that I may almost give more of myself. Last couple things, and then I'll get you out of here. One is I saw, so this is just an interesting thing between couple interesting, fun analogies I wanted to talk to you about this week. Not even analogies, but just kind of little vignettes. One is I saw a woman singing some Coldplay in like this local, it's like a little plaza nearby, and she was pretty good. And so I went out, put some money in her little hat. And she had like, there was a bunch of money in there already because she was a good singer and the Coldplay shit was just hitting me in all the feels. Excuse me. And so I was like, yeah, I'll put some money in her hat. And she already had a bunch of money in there. I was like, this is cool. This woman's doing well. And then later in the week, I came out of the gym and I saw there was a guy begging on the corner. He wasn't begging, but he is out there. He had his hat out. He wasn't busking or anything. He's just like, one of those dudes just posts up, be like, hey, give me money. And I saw somebody come by and put money in his hat. And as soon as they put the money in his hat, he took it and put it in his pocket. So it looked like he didn't have any money in his hat. And I just thought it was this interesting kind of dichotomy between two people asking for money on the street, busking versus begging, and the appearance of like allocated capital from other people. Where like for the busker, I just thought it was interesting that I'll often see people when they're busking, if they're just getting started, not like getting started for their career, but like getting started for the day, they'll put some of their own money in the hat because, or the guitar case or whatever it is, because if there's money already there, it's like this social validation that people have given money. And so the fact that like people have given money before, it like encourages other people to want to give money. And so I mean, it's interesting kind of just social psychology money concept of like, other people say this is okay to give to, so I'm going to give to it as well. Compared to for the beggar, him it's more of an advantage if it looks like nobody's given to him, because it makes him look more desperate. We're like, there is no, for the busking woman, I have an idea of how well she's doing. And it's like, whoa, she's doing really well. This is cool. It's something I want to contribute to. Or with the beggar, it looks like he's made no money. And so it's like, man, he's not doing well. I should help him out. And so it made me think about how many times, you know, I've given to folks like this or that, where it's like, how many other like 500 Argentinian pesos have they pocketed before I gave them any? Because you're always like, oh, I'll be the first one to give to this person. It kind of gives you like a little noble, like, juice of like fucking assholery, like holier than thou bullshit. But a lot of times they just take the shit and just stuff it in their pocket. I was like, that, it was just a cool kind of observation between busking and begging, the difference with like, I don't know, money, the psychology of money between the two and appearances, that I thought was interesting. Another one was kind of in the same ballpark. It's like the same thing, but a different, same kind of idea, but I guess it applied to a different context, where before I was seen as Venezuelan, I've been learning so much crazy shit about Venezuela, but that's some shit I'll talk to you about next time because it's nutty. But I just have a lot more to say on that than I have time here for. But before I was seeing her, I would just go up to, I was trying to just approach random women more often, like at the park, out and about, at the gym, just trying to go up and say, hey, what's up? What's your name? Do you know this area? Just like short conversations with cute girls and see if it went anywhere. And it was interesting to see how much the reactions to me changed depending on the person. So I would start almost always with like the same lead in, which was just like asking them for a question or like, hey, do you know this area? And like ask for, I don't know, just like where the hardware store is or grocery store. We're trying to like, there's something about, I learned this a lot when I was taking photos and taking portraits of people when I was getting really into photography. If you just go up to someone and say, hey, you look really cool, can I take your photo? Or they're like, no, what the fuck? But if you just start a conversation with somebody, and then after you're like, hey, I'm a photographer, do you mind if I take a photo? It's like 99% of us accept. They're like, sure, no problem. But you have to have some sort of like a weird in first, which to me does feel a little bit insincere, but I notice with women, I can't just go up and say, hey, I thought you were cute. Are you single? They're often like, it depends who's asking. They ask that a lot. Who's asking? I'm like, me, dude. But I get it. Men are the worst, so totally understandable. But it'd be interesting. I was like, hey, and just start like, I was like, where's this grocery store? And just like random bullshit. And then I was like, hey, do you have Instagram? Blah, blah, blah. You know, and then chat from there. And it's so strange because to me, I want to be direct. I want to go, I don't want to go through all the bullshit and be like, there's this other stuff, but this is really what I want. Like weird kind of like subliminal intentions. I just want to kind of cut to the chase and say, this is what it is. I'm a straight shooter, but doesn't exactly work like that in real life. Anyways, I talked to these girls out in the park, and it was fascinating how different they'd react to me. Same Kia, same question. Some were like very responsive, and some were like offended. Some were like angry with me, I think, for even like being in their presence. Understandable. But it was interesting to sort of see how much the product was the same, but the reaction was completely different. The person was completely different, like what they thought of me. And so this last week, there was like this little old lady walking down the street, and she was like struggling with her groceries. And I just came over and I was like, hey, you need some help? She's like, please. And so I like helped her with the grocery, walked her down to her apartment. And she was like so thrilled. And it was just interesting how some, and I understand that it's different if it's like, I'm trying to help compared to like, I'm trying to sleep with you. But a lot of times the sleeping with you shit, like it's not even like it was that explicit, but just like me approaching you on the street, depending on who you are. I guess one's different if I'm asking for a favor compared to if I'm asking to do you a favor. So that was interesting, like how much the old lady needed that compared to when people are doing me a favor, you know, these cute girls aren't about like showing me where grocery stores or something. There's kind of an interesting kind of dichotomy there. And then also with the old lady, when there was no possibility, I guess, of like anything sexual, anything happening, she was just so thrilled compared to a lot of times when I'll just talk to random women. There's something about it that does, I don't know if it feels wrong per se, but it just feels like they, I don't know, I like pissed them off or something. So it's just fascinating to me how it totally depends on the woman. Some it's like makes their day and like, yeah, here's where the grocery store is, and we keep chatting. Like, they ask me for my Instagram. I'm like, sure, here you go. And then depending on the person, depending on their experience with men, where they're at in their life, whatever's going on, it can be a completely different thing. And so this whole thing, I guess we'll wrap up, is that it's like that it's just helping me realize like nothing is personal. I mean, it is, depends on the person, but that almost always, like, my like, if I'm able to like have a like start a good like a successful open with a girl or something like that, it's almost always, it almost has like nothing to do with me and almost everything to do with like whatever the fuck going on in their life. So it's just been kind of an interesting thing about I don't know, that sort of like that approach to people and not taking things personally and just trying to like have my own beliefs about who I am and what I am and kind of like protect those and then let the world kind of like reflect back to me whatever it wants to. Some weird, superficial, deep shit for you. Okay, that's it for today. Have a great week, wherever you are, whatever you're up to. Thank you for checking in. Future Kia, you got this. Hang in there, one step at a time. I'll check you in the next one. Peace.